One comment we've been getting a lot of since we started doing this show is, what can I do? Or what do we do next? What can we practically do? I think that's where most people are right now. They want to know if things can be changed, and if they can be changed, how they can help to change them. Well, I had a little idea about that, and it was brought to me by my wife, Natasha. After the Stratosphere Lounge show last night, she showed me some things on Instagram, and it is nothing but ongoing perpetual footage, movie footage, stills, lots of stills, drone footage of the homeless situation in Los Angeles and what a catastrophe this city has become, just as an example of the larger catastrophe of California. The situation, as you probably heard, is beyond imagining. Significant parts of Los Angeles have been turned into what you can only call third world cities. I don't mean like Istanbul or Cairo, I mean like Mogadishu. There is bubonic plague in parts of Los Angeles, typhoid, cholera, all of this stuff. Dr. Drew Pinsky said that there are conditions that we've seen in downtown Los Angeles that haven't been seen since the Middle Ages in Western societies. And this in America's second city, and so what do we do about it? Well, the first thing we have to do about it is understand it. And this is the part that's really hard. You drive through Los Angeles and you see all these piles and mounds of rotting garbage. You see homeless people camped under every interchange. You see full-on crazy people walking down the street and smashing windows. The reason that Los Angeles has so many homeless people, and the reason that Los Angeles has been reduced to a third world squatters camp, is because that benefits the mayor of Los Angeles and it benefits the city council. Many people, many members of which are being investigated for corruption by the FBI. There's some irony for you. And how does this dynamic actually work? Well, it's actually pretty simple. Once you decode it, like I said, it's so almost impossible to believe that people could be this venal and this evil, but it's the only explanation. So why are there so many homeless people in LA? The answer is simple. If there are plenty of homeless people in LA, if the streets are overflowing with them, if you cannot get in and out of your house without stepping over homeless people, if homeless people are smashing windows, going down the streets and just throwing enormous cinder blocks through the windows of passing cars and standing there naked, screaming at the top of their lungs or defecating in the streets, if that is the environment that exists in your city, then when a bond issue comes up or a tax issue comes up and it's targeted to deal with the homeless problem, then you'll do what we did in California here, which is approve the measure and allocate hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, probably tens of billions of dollars or even more to solve the homeless problem, which we're told is a housing problem when it's really a mental health problem. So all of this money is raised, billions of dollars are raised in order to build this housing. The housing is never built, and the money disappears. Now, when I say the money disappears, I don't mean that a strong wind came along and blew those $100 bills out of City Hall. I mean the money disappeared. The money was raised. I can testify to that because I wrote a check for a significant amount of it. So where did it go? Well, where do you think it went? Where do you think it went? Went into the pockets of the politicians. Some of it went to cronyism in terms of contractors who, like everything else, are dragging their feet and may construct 100 or 50 of the 30,000 units that we were told was necessary to solve this problem, when again and again and again, we find it's not a housing problem, it's a mental health problem. And then we get to the real actual case for making what I call the politics of ruin. We're ruining things. We're ruining lives, ruining environments, communities, ruining public health, ruining any sense of joy in life, any sense of pleasure. Good vibrations haven't been seen in California in 40 years. And when you ask yourself, why would a politician entrusted with the preservation of their city, why they would engage in these kind of policies? Now you know the answer. It's for money. It's just that simple. It's a scam. It's a gigantic, enormous racket. And in LA, we have in microcosm a real clear picture of what happens on the state and federal levels. It's not every state. There are some states that are extremely well run. But in the big blue states, this is how it's done. This is how it's done in California. And I guarantee you, this is how it's done in Michigan with Detroit, and how it's done in Pennsylvania with Philadelphia and all the rest of it. This is how it's done. It's how it's done in Georgia with Atlanta, all of this. This is the politics of ruin. And it is what they are determined to do in order to keep the cash flowing from the host organism, which is you and me. I am going to try my very best to say that this is not the result of Democratic politicians. It is the result of Democratic politicians, because LA is a one-party town, California is a one-party state. But when you get right down to it, that is a tactical and actually a strategic mistake to say that, because it's not the fault of Democratic Party politicians. It's the fault of politicians. It's the fault of the political class. It's the fault of the people that seek public office for their personal enrichment and aggrandizement and all the rest. And learning how to get this party definition out of the way is going to be tough for me, but I'm going to work at it real hard. And for those of you who say, well, why are you doing that? You're just trying to make friends with the people who are causing the problem. The people who live in Los Angeles are overwhelmingly Democrat. They're overwhelmingly furious at Garcetti. You can hear just regular street people, just people who have working job people in LA, with videos of them just screaming at the top of their lungs why this person who they voted for isn't doing anything. And the reason that I'm not going to attach a label to this is because I don't think those labels do us any good anymore. I'll keep coming back to this point, but if we have 10 Republicans voting for a second impeachment of Donald Trump within, 12, 24 hours of the resolution and voting for it, these people are not our friends. They don't represent us. They have no spines. Not all of them are crooks, but with five or six people, they have no spines, and all they care about is getting back into office so they can continue on with this thing. So there are the politics of ruin. And now we get to the part that's interesting, because as I mentioned, most people are asking, well, what can we do? What can actually be done about this? I think that we should start looking for very small test cases to see what could happen if you had people who were going to try and rethink politics. Then we should start putting the theory into practice. We should start seeing if it works. If you can spend a little time thinking about what can I do locally on the smallest possible scale that is a problem that has some kind of solvability. Just to close on this, I'm not saying that the homeless problem in Los Angeles is something we can do anything about. And I'm not saying that we can clean up the city. But I am very curious to know from the people that live in the middle of this, whether or not something of actual value could be done. Could some lives be saved? If most of the people out there on the streets of LA have significant mental health problems or ruinous addiction problems, then those people are essentially unrecoverable as far as their ability to take care of themselves goes. They need medical treatment and they need care. But what I'm really interested in at this point is how many people are out there who are in fact can be saved? How many people are out there who could be, when I say saved, by the way, I'm not talking about putting them in a glass case. When I say saved, I mean, how many American citizens in one place can we turn from welfare dependency cases to tax-paying citizens who have a job and are contributing to society instead of contributing to the ruin of society? How many individuals could you save? How many could you turn around? It's pointless to put effort, money, and time into something in order to build a larger case if your end result is not something tangible, a tangible improvement somewhere. Something that ends the story with this used to be the nightmare, and now this is the reality of somebody who's returned to civic culture and who is now in control of their own destiny, no longer dependent on other people's tax money, and is becoming a happy and productive member of society. I think it's a grand idea, and I'm very interested to know what you think. That'll do it for this edition today, and again, the membership continues to come in, and we now will be doing things with those resources and will be challenging you to engage on these projects as we go forward as well. But again, just to close this week, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate the incredible response that we've had for the membership. And I'm very glad to welcome all of our new members here. And I am always glad for the people who've been here with us from the beginning, kept the lights burning throughout thick and thin. It's going to get thinner. It's going to get a lot thinner. But then it'll get better. Of this, I am sure. So have a great weekend. Stay away from the news and stay away from social media and just do what you like to do. If you like to go ice fishing, this would probably be a good time. Just go out and take a breath of air and have a weekend with your family or your friends, and we'll go back to work and we'll get them on Monday.